Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the 5-Star Joshi Show here on the Fight Game Media Network. I am your host, as always, Scott Edwards, and we are back with episode 2 of this week, as today we are going to talk, you guessed it, Stardom and anything surrounding the wonderful world of Stardom. This is being recorded just a few hours after Stardom American Dream 2024 in the Keystone State. That show has been completed. Stardom's return to America is complete. Of course, they have some more to do this coming weekend, but their big show is now officially over. So I will review that show and all that happened there. We'll also be talking Julia and her recent doings. We will also be talking Rossi Ogawa, who has traveled to America. And we'll be talking this past weekend shows, because this past weekend shows include the farewells for Mirai, Izuki, Mai Sakurai, Julia, and Utami Hashisha. Of course, Julia and Utami will be back next Friday on Cork and Hall for their official goodbyes. But we do know that the other three are leaving, so we'll talk about that. We've also had multiple title changes in the world of Stardom this week, so we'll get to that as well. But we're going to start at the very top with Julia, and by default, Rossi Ogawa. So Julia. Oh, we do love Julia, but she is one to create a fuss these days, and it all starts this past Monday. So of course her final match, her final singles match possibly, but her final match officially part of her Stardom contract, saw her go to a 20-minute time limit draw with Suzu Suzuki on Sunday, and it was on Monday that she walked into Pro Wrestling Noah as part of Monday Magic Season 2, Episode 1, and she, on that show, committed to wrestling at Wrestle Magic 2024 at the beginning of April. I believe it's April 4th. So huge implications there, obviously. And before we get to that, we also will add that Julia has traveled to the United States, expected to be meeting in some sort with WWE officials as the rumors continue to loom over her possibly joining WWE sooner rather than later. She was seen at WWE World, which is the official, I forget what they used to call it, but I think they used to call it Access. It is now WWE World. You can walk around there, you know, see a bunch of WWE stuff. I believe there were multiple pictures, and this was confirmed by both PW Insider and Fightful Select that Julia was there in attendance. So lots of moves from Julia right off the rip. But let's talk about the Noah news, because we know when her first match will be since leaving Stardom, and that for now, is going to be in Pro Wrestling NOAH. And I find that very exciting. I find it very exciting because, as Dave Meltzer noted on Wrestling Observer Radio, this is the start of something bigger. Of course, I believe we can all agree that the bigger aspect here is Rossy Ogawa's promotion, which of course is expected to have Julia at the beginning of the promotion. We've also had a lot with Rossy, which we'll get to, but if that is the case, and you know, this Wrestle Magic show is happening at Ryogoku Sumo Hall, if this is a unofficial start of some sort or a way to showcase this new promotion, then it's brilliant, because it, you know, if you're going to do one match, Sumo Hall is not a bad place to do it on a show for Pro Wrestling NOAH, which is sure to get plenty of interest, as it'll be the first Wrestle Magic show following the Monday Magic series. So I'm obviously intrigued of what's to come for Julia and NOAH. I do think, you know, this is the unofficial start of more to come regarding Julia, Rossy, and so on. Then of course it was reported by Tokyo Sports this week. They even got a picture of Rossy Ogawa at the time that he held a meeting with, presumably for the new promotion. That was reported by Tokyo Sports, as I noted, and he has traveled to the United States, and he seems to be as well at WWE World. There are, of course, the rumors swirling, and this has been the case for a few months now, ever since Rossy left. Sean Ross Sapp, of course, notably said that day that, you know, some people thought maybe he would work with WWE. My understanding of what Rossy Ogawa is doing is, well, Bull Nakano is, of course, going into the WWE Hall of Fame. As of this recording, he snapped a picture with her there. So he's definitely there to watch her do so and take her speech and all that. You know, it's not a shock that both him and Julia possibly over there together. I don't think we would ever question that either. But I think it's also worth noting, which is very important, Io Shirai is defending the WWE Women's World Championship on the big stage. That is someone that he, of course, considers like a daughter to him. So it would be crazy for him not to, especially with the time that he has. You know, there's not been any announcements of official dates or anything regarding the new promotion. So as far as I know, he is there, and it's not too shocking for him to be there for both Bull and Io. You know, a lot of wrestlers go to WrestleMania, of course, and a lot of promoters now with Rossy Ogawa. But we live in a new world of pro wrestling, as we'll get to regarding Stardom and their budding relationship with AEW, which Tony Khan had to talk about a little bit on the Ring of Honor Supercard of Honor media call. So lots going on with these two sides, obviously not really connecting with one another anymore, but it's definitely worth talking about. But let's get to the Stardom side of things here, because the Stardom side of things, of course, was a very, very busy week. We had the two big shows this past weekend. We had American Dream 2024. But let's start with, of course, the comments made by Tony Khan at Supercard of Honor. To get exactly what he said, I don't want to missay anything that he's saying. But he did talk about it on the presser, like I said, regarding the new relationship working with Stardom. This was his quote. Well, it's a much better relationship now, I can tell you that. It's been a pleasure working with the new Stardom management. I'm very grateful to our partners at Bushiro, and very grateful to Stardom and New Japan Pro Wrestling, really. I think it's a new day for sure with Stardom and AEW. And the new management has been tremendous to work with. Very grateful to them, and very Very excited to have Stardom represented in ROH. Again, I think in ROH, you're seeing a lot of the best women's wrestling and happening in ROH right now. And President Okada from Stardom has been a great friend to us, and it's a young relationship. But Tyler's just a great guy and very honest, and he's been very open. And it's been 180 degrees what it had been like working with Stardom up to this point. When I worked with Bushiroad in the past, when there were wrestlers interested in coming to America, I believe the parent company, and specifically in our past dealings with New Japan Pro Wrestling, if there's a wrestler interested in coming here, typically they've been very open, and I've never wanted to go behind their back and work behind their back. And I've been very open about the deals. I felt like there was a good relationship with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and there's always been the understanding that if someone was going to come to America, I think everyone would rather have those people in AEW, where they are still part of the family, they could still work at the shows. In all these cases where people have come over, I've never gone behind their back. I always go from the front door, and that is something I would appreciate the same in kindness and the same courtesy. And it's a real relationship, and we're real people, and nobody's perfect. But I think we've really come together and built a great working relationship where there's so many positive things happening. And now I'm really excited that's going to be able to happen with Stardom too. He said that on the presser. This was, of course, this was transcribed by Fightful, I believe, Jeremy Lambert. So I just want to give him credit to that. He also continued saying, when I recruited Mariah May was somebody I really wanted to bring here and had a plan for her and ideas for her. And I had to get in touch with Mariah myself, which is very different from what it's been like working with New Japan. And that was because we had a totally different kind of relationship with Stardom at the time. Now, here we are, and Stardom is sending great talent over working with us. They want to partner with us. It's a very new day and a different time. It's great working with Stardom. And President Okada at Stardom has been an awesome partner with us and very grateful to him. And I'm very glad that they made the change that they made. Of course, that is a comment back at Rossi Ogala, whose contract was canceled in February. So here's my thoughts on really that, the rumors of that have continued with Rossi and WWE and all these things. I don't want American wrestling mixed in with Joshi. That's never been something I've all been too interested in. Stardom has gotten themselves to the level that they are because of this roster, first and foremost. We can talk about who's in charge and what's going on, and I have many thoughts about Taro Okada's reign so far, you know, booking these shows and kind of how we're starting to feel a little directionless post Buntai and really up and down cards. But there's still a lot of good cards to enjoy. Obviously, Stardom has gone live and so on, but I had my point about stories last week. But my main point here is that, you know, Tony Khan made those comments, and obviously we've seen the tweets regarding Rossi Ogawa, and I think it's unfair to pin everything between these, you know, this relationship never having worked out before between Rossi and Tony Khan. I think it would be wrong of us to ignore the previous President Harada of Bushiroad fight and the difficulties that he, of course, created within this promotion and the many dates that they ran and so on and so forth. I think, you know, ignoring that is would be very wrong of us in all of this. And I think that's where we're at. Obviously, there's something to the belief here behind the scenes that we don't know between Tony Khan and Rossi, because Tony Khan has very much verbally not enjoyed him. But I just think it's I don't see the reasoning behind it making too much sense to me at this moment in time. You know, Tony Khan can feel the way he wants. Rossi can feel the way he wants. Taro, you know, it's a never-ending cycle that is kind of annoying. And ultimately, all I want is the best for the roster. And I've said this since day one when Rossi left. I will continue to say that. It's the roster that matters most to me. It's the wrestlers that matter most to me, because they are what makes Stardom click once in, you know, at the end of the day. And I don't want to see what has happened. And I don't want to hear the, well, you know, There's less money in Japan now because of the, you know, because of how things have gone economically. I don't want to hear that. I just want the best wrestlers to be part of Stardom. I want the best wrestlers to be in Japan, right? I want Utami and Julia and Mirai, if they're all going to Rossi's promotion, I want them to work in Japan. I don't want them to, you know, disappear to WWE if that's a reality. I'm just being honest here. At the end of the day, that's all I care about. It goes for Stardom. It goes for Rossi's promotion. That's what I want. I don't want these wrestlers, you know, having to miss a bunch of shows and be out of stories because they're going back and forth to America all the time, or they get signed away, because that is a reality, especially as we've seen with AEW. That is something that happens. And I'm not saying WWE wouldn't do the same if they do get involved, because we know, you know, they surely would. But this is just me ranting about it all. I don't, you know, Rossi is someone who has obviously helped build up my fandom in Joshi. It's his promotion. It's Stardom that he created that created my interest in Joshi. So obviously I'm going to support that and support whatever his next vision will be. But it's a lot of wait and see. We're just going off of comments now and reports and picture, like, right? We're just going off so much until Rossi says something, unless something's official there with anything regarding WWE. It's just something I'm looking past. I'm ignoring for the most part. And then with Tony Khan and Stardom, and, you know, Stardom and AEW were eventually going to work together. I always felt that way. With Forbidden Door, a show like that, it had to inevitably happen. And now it does. And, you know, I'm fine with that. I just, again, I don't need AEW signing away talent. That's the last thing I want. I want these incredible talent. Yes. I don't want to hear the, oh, well, you know, it's great that they go get paid. Yeah, that's awesome. But right now, I'm going to be selfish. I want to see them wrestle. I want to see them wrestle the best of the best. And the best of the best are in Stardom. So, thank you for listening to my rant. We are in a new age, though, in Joshi. AEW and Stardom are clearly working together, as we'll get to with American Dream 2024, which can be a very good thing. I don't want this to make it sound like it can't be a bad thing. It can be a very good thing. I just want it to go the right way. And the right way is actual partners. But that is just that. And, you know, the same goes for whatever is coming with Rossi's promotion. But I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to talk about it with everything that's been swirling around on social and whatnot. But let's get to this past weekend. This past weekend, Stardom was in both Sendai Pit and Yamagata, for, I believe, 2 pay-per-views. They were both on pay-per-view. So that's obviously important. We also had 2 title matches on night one. We had a goodbye gauntlet on night one. We had a rookie debut on night one. And on night two, we had the goodbye match for Yuzuki, the goodbye match for Mai Sakurai, the goodbye gauntlet for Mirai, a final singles match for Julia and Suzu Suzuki, and Utami Hayashishita teaming up with Queen's Quest one final time. So, with that said, let's get into it. Let's start with the Sendai Pit Show. I'm not going to go through every result, but I am going to go through the important things, of course, because we also have America Dream 2024 to review. And I'll quickly talk about Stardom in Ring of Honor, because obviously I just brought that up. But there's a very exciting match on that show that is kind of like, to me, if that's where they're going with it, is the perfect part of this relationship. But we'll get to that. I'm just getting off track. So they were in Sendai Pit on this past Saturday, and it was Rion debuting against Starlight Kid. Obviously, for a rookie match, very basic work. Nothing that's going to I think, jump out just yet. It's the matches that follow where we really see what kind of performer she's going to be. But I thought her and Starlight Kid did a really good job. Ultimately, like, this was a chance for Rian to show her heart. And that's what these debut matches are all about. And she's going to be someone who, you know, feels like a natural babyface at first, because that's what rookies do. And I think it'll be interesting to see where she ultimately fits in, because on day two, she did team with Micah. I believe Micah had been in her corner, if I'm not mistaken, for the rookie match as well. So there's some excitement with that. But I really am looking forward to what she can do, because, you know, these rookies that Stardom have brought in over the past year have been fantastic. The next important part of the show from Sendai Pit was Sayaka Kara versus Aya Sakura wrestling to a 10-minute time limit draw. This match isn't one to necessarily write home about, I'd say, but it was important nonetheless. And I say it was important because the idea of the match was the winner would join Cosmic Angels, and they did not find a winner. They went to a 10-minute draw, and after the match, Yuna Mizumori was, you know, talking to both of them, and Tam Nakano came out and said the final opportunity for these rookies to prove if they should be in Cosmic Angels will be in a trios match. It will be the super trio of Tam, Sayori Ano, and Natsu Poi taking on Yuna Mizumori, Sayaka Karara, and Aya Sakura. So I'm very interested in that match. That feels like it'll be on the Korakuen next Friday, but that remains to be seen. I'm going to guess it will be. It feels like a match fitting of that show. If I had to guess, as of this recording, what's going to be on that show, I would think Utami versus Saya as Utami's final match in Stardom. And I would also think, I don't know for Julia, maybe a gauntlet of some sort, and then that trios match. That feels like your potential big three matches for Korakuen. And then from there, it's, you know, we'll see type thing. But that's ultimately my thought process on that.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you have to stop but don't really want to, stop at BP. Because BP has everything you need to keep it going. Fuel to keep the adventures going. The BP Me app to keep the savings and the commutes going. Snacks and drinks to keep the crew going. And the BP Me rewards Visa to keep the rewards going and going and going. A stop at BP isn't a stop at all. Keep it going.
Next up, we had Yuzuki wrestling in her goodbye gauntlet, as I like to call it. She wrestled all of Stars in in 1-minute matches. So she wrestled against Mayu Yutani, Momokogo, Koguma, Hazuki, Saida, and Hada. The only person that she pinned, which I thought was kind of a Stunner was, or the only person that pinned her, was Saeeda. That, of course, was set up by the help of, it was set up by the help of Hazuki, who had kept fighting Izuki after the bell. But what I love about these gauntlet matches, they're just so pure. They're just so wonderful. You know, Izuki wasn't in Stars for a long time, but somehow she already felt like family to this faction, and they treated her like that. You know, they could have just done a whatever match, right? Wrestled pretty simple and moved on, but they didn't. You know, there was a clear appreciation to Izuki and what she brought to the table for them on this show. So I thought that was lovely. I thought she clearly was very emotional about it. Her and Mayu had a fun spot where Mayu just stopped her and then slapped her in the face. Hazuki brought it. Saeeda brought it. You know, there was just a lot of fun throughout this match. But the most emotional part of it was when Hanan got in the ring. I don't know if I talked about it much on this actual show yet, but I think that Hanan and Izuki developed a really great relationship. They seemed to be training partners, and it was clearly emotional for Hanan. But after the match, they all went and, you know, pinned Izuki at the same time when the bell rang, and it was very emotional. It was a very emotional weekend in Stardom, and this was just kind of the start. But very, very fun match. I really enjoyed it. Next up, we had Julian Tam teaming up, as it was Julian Tam versus Sayori Ino and Natsupoi versus O2 Line versus Natsuko Tora and Momo Watanabe. It was Sayori and Natsupoi getting the win when Sayori pinned Miyu Amasaki. These multi-team tags rule. Like, they are excellent, right? They are so good because the pace never stops, and Stardom's so good at doing these, and it's why I'm very excited for the Ring of Honor match that I'll talk about at the end of the show, because it gives them the best, especially when it's like all stars, right? This is a lot of stars in this match. So they get their big moves in, and it's like a derby of some sort. This was tied for the best match on the show for me. It was really good. We have Mirai, Shuri, and Ami Sarai defend the Artists of Stardom Championships against Micah, Mina Shirakawa, and Xena. I'll be honest, I didn't think this match was all too great. Now, it was fine, and I thought Mirai and Xena had a good closing stretch, but it just wasn't heated enough, and I thought with these six, we could get there. But this match was made for one reason only, and that was for a title change, as it was Xena pinning Mirai to become the new Artist of Stardom Champions. EXV now have the belts. Micah is a double champion. She would not be the only double champion crown on this show, but we'll get to that. And yeah, that is the future of the Artist belts for the time being. Stars is obviously interested in challenging them. Hazuki, Koguma, and Hanan have kind of been the ones focusing on that, or Ida. You know, there has been a real focus, so we'll have to wait and see as to when that match happens, but that seems to be next up for the Artist belts. But, you know, Mirai puts another person over here on her way out, which is obviously very nice of her. And in the main event, it was Aphrodite defending the Goddesses of Stardom Championships against Crazy Star. And you guessed it, we saw Crazy Star take home the gold, ending Aphrodite's title reign, which started back at Stardom Dream Queendom 2023. And ending Aphrodite once and for all. This was it, the final tag for a tag team, a duo that has been at the top and leading Stardom for a very long time. You know, they have been the staple right at the top of the card. Utami was world champion for a year, and then Saya Kamatani was Wonder Stardom champion for a year and a half almost. And that was like back to back. So for really 2.5 years, some part of Aphrodite was on top. And when they weren't on top, they had tag belts. And now both are no longer together, and Utami is leaving. And that's very emotional. That's very emotional, but we'll kind of get to that more with the Queen's Quest stuff. We will talk about this, however. Crazy Star are your new tag team champs. Obviously love that. We got May Sarah as a double champion for all of 2 seconds. And, oh, trust me, I'll get to my complaints when we get to the U.S. show. But that was very cool. I thought the match was very strong. Nothing blow away, but a very strong title match between two great teams. And I think that's all I was really looking for. Sendai Pit was brutal in terms of crowd noise. And they always are. They always are. Crowd was pretty much sold out, I'm pretty sure. And they just don't make noise. They don't do anything. I just don't get it. Like, why do you go to a show if you're not going to make noise? But these four went into it. They really put their all into it. And it was ultimately Utami who took the pin from Suzu Suzuki. Let's get to the Sunday show. The Sunday show was packed with emotion. If you thought the show before that was sad with the Suzuki gauntlet, this one was, you know, all the worse. So the show opened up with Suzuki's final match in Stardom, as she wrestled May Sarah in a very competitive 9-minute battle. I thought watching this, I was like, oh my God, this would have been such a great, you know, this could have been so special somewhere down the line, because Suzuki is flashing, you know, signs of greatness and high speed. May Sarah, you know how much I love her. I sing her praises all the time. But it was not meant to be. But the match was good. So I'm happy we got it, at least. And, you know, interesting opponent for Yuzuki's final. We have Wingori defeating Micah and Ryan in tag team action. I think Wingori's fantastic. Natsupoi and Yuna Mizumori destroyed Ayasaka and Sayaka Karara. It was Mayu Yutani, Hizuki, Koguma, and Momokogo facing off with Mina Shirakawa, Wakasukiyama, Zena, and Hanako. And now we get really to the emotional matches. These last four are where the emotion kicks in, as four of the five leaving are involved. First up, we had Mai Sakurai versus Tam. This was a good callback. Mai Sakurai donning the old Cosmic Angels gear that she used to wear, which I thought was very cool, very good flashback. And her, you know, she showed how much she's grown since leaving Cosmic Angels. And she, you know, closes her chapter repping them and saying goodbye. And these two had a very emotional post-match where, you know, Tam asked Maya if she had regretted it. And, you know, Maya said, I grew in DDM. I needed that. But, you know, my start was always with the Cosmic Angels. I thought that was a very good way to complete this between the two. It was a good last match for Mai Sakurai and Stardom. But the most emotional match, I thought, was this one. It was Mirai in a goodbye gauntlet. She wrestled 5 minutes each against Rana, Yagami, Shuri, Ami Thore, and Saki Kashima. The match started with her against Rana Yagami. Very good stuff here for 5 minutes. And it's worth noting, now that I'm talking about Rana, Pro Wrestling Wave announced, in a shocker of the week, I'd say, that Saya Kamatani and Rana Yagami will be competing in the Catch the Wave tournament this year. So that should be a lot of fun. A few years ago, Catch the Wave was fantastic. And it's really It's taken a few hits the past couple of years, but obviously I will be locked in to Saya and Rana's matches, so I will let you all know how those go. That's very big for them. I'll be interested to see how Saya does specifically, because booking around her will be tough. She is one of the most, she's one of the top stars in this company, obviously. So we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, Mariah and Rana was good. Then I think we had Mariah and Saki Kashima, right? Let me double check. But I thought for sure it was Saki next. She wrestled Ami Sarai next. They wrestled in kind of a hoss fight. So, you know, after Mariah beat Rana, so she got a win. After that, this was a time limit draw. They ran into each other a number of times, which was really good. You know, good, hard-hitting 5 minutes. That's really all I was looking for out of the new eras. Obviously, you know, I have my opinions on the new eras in their run, but this was a very nice way for them to end it. And then we had Saki Kashima, and this is where the match just became wonderful. So 12 seconds in, Saki Kashima pins Mariah, 1, 2, 3. And she's like, oh, I can get out of this now. And Mariah essentially talks her into doing another fall. And they wrestle for, you know, 2.5 minutes or so. And immediately after that, which is so good, Saki Kashima gets another pin doing the revival. Both revival. Mariah's just looking stunned. It was an incredible moment. And then, of course, Shuri was the final fall. They destroyed each other for 5 minutes. It was so good. And then emotionally, they all hugged and cried. It was just so, like, when you do these gauntlets, and I talked about with Yuzuki, but obviously Mariah had been in God's Eye for longer, and Mariah really learned under Shuri. And Shuri has been emotional through all these goodbyes. You know, in many ways, she's kind of like, you know, either the big sister or the mother figure to some of these wrestlers. And you felt that, you know. This was great. If there's anything to watch from this weekend, I would actually recommend this over everything else. I thought this was wonderful. And then we had Julia and Suzu Suzuki going one-on-one for 20 minutes, going to a draw. Very emotional, as you'd expect between these two by the end. You know, you get a lot of what you'd expect from these two. It didn't ever get to another level, like that top level that we've seen from them in their biggest matches. So it never got to, like, wow, this is must-see, match of the year type thing. You never really got close to that. But at the same time, you know, them going for 20 minutes kind of felt like closure for both of them. Like, all right, Julia's leaving again. Suzu's, you know, watching her leave again. But they got this match, and they had this moment. And they, you know, it ended at 15, but they said, let's do 5 more minutes. And I thought that was a great addition to this match for them to say farewell to each other. So it was a very good job. And, you know, pretty emotional that they will not be connected anymore, because it was clear whenever they teamed, they were just having the time of their lives. So more emotions and so on, but Julia has left the building. And in the main event, it was Utami Hayashishita, Saya Kamatani, Azumi, Lady C, and Miyu Amasaki facing Natsuko Tora, Momo Watanabe, Starlight Kid, Ruaka, and Rina. This match was so well done as well. For a lot of it, you got Utami and Momo, which just felt right. Like, I know a lot has happened over the past couple of years, but it, you know, Utami learned a lot from Momo when they were in Queen's Quest together. You know, that was her tag team partner originally, and they won belts together. And you could see, I felt like you watched them have that, and they were really putting the work in. I thought this match was very good, actually. They were really putting the work in, and then you got moments of Aphrodite teaming up. You got moments of Saya, Utami, and Azumi taking out Momo Watanabe, which was wonderful. Everything about this match was just so well done. And ultimately, they did cheat to make sure Momo pinned Utami, giving her another big win. as Queen's Quest says farewell to their leader. Just so emotional, to the point where they were really all tearing up in the ring. Saya Kamatani was devastated. She was more sad than anyone on the show. She was crying deliriously. She's like, please don't leave type stuff. And, you know, now she's got to lead Queen's Quest into the future. And it was tough. It was tough. But it was also beautiful in many ways because, you know, Tommy got to say this goodbye. And Tommy's obviously going on to her next chapter, whatever that ultimately looks like. And, you know, I think that's exciting. I think that's what I want to see is, you know, I want to see them have these moments. And I think that's what Stardom did so well in this farewell. I want to give credit to this entire Stardom system. They handled these goodbyes very well. Obviously, you know, a lot of them had to lose on the way out, and that's expected. That's wrestling. But at the same time, there's still a clear respect. And respect to the fans, respect to the roster, to give these wrestlers these moments, because obviously leaving isn't an easy decision. You know, and Tommy said she made the decision back in December, but still, even still, this has still been a tough couple months. And, you know, saying goodbye to your friends, saying goodbye to your faction, you know, Queen's Quest, Tommy's rarely spent her time out of Queen's Quest. That's been the majority of her run. That's been pretty much, it's been all of a run. So seeing Utami removed from them will be interesting when she does pop back up. But yeah, this was just an emotional, great, well done show. If you haven't watched it, I say watch the last four matches. I think that's really where you will get your money's worth. And I think that's what makes Stardom so special. So yeah, but let's get to American Dream 2024. I know this is kind of the big review on the show, but I had to get through all the emotional stuff. So we had a 5-match card. This show ended in like an hour and 44 minutes. Didn't even make 2-hour mark. And I think that's my biggest complaint about the show, besides like some of the matches not really having much meaning to me. And a title change, but I'll get to that. Like, I think with this show, The idea, obviously, is to bring Stardom to America, but I don't know if I felt that until the last two matches. Like, it didn't feel like the Stardom experience and what so many of us have fallen in love with was fully there on display until the last two matches. And the show did feel very rushed. It was very fast. It didn't give you much time to breathe. But the wrestlers put on a show, making their entrances. And I there's some notable things to talk about here, so we will get to that. Bulls start at the very top. It was May Sarah defending the high-speed championship against Saki Kashima and Ram Kai Chow. And crimes were committed on this show, as May Sarah is no longer a double champion. Yes, I'm emotional. May Sarah is no longer double champion, as she was pinned via Revival by Saki Kashima. Saki Kashima becoming a 2-time high-speed champion, ending a reign of May Sarah's that really felt like it was just getting going. She had an incredible match with Suzuki, one of the best matches of the year. And just, oh my, yeah, I'm devastated. I'm legitimately devastated that May Sarah lost. The match wasn't all that good. They joked about, you know, Ram and Saki slowing down and not being able to keep up, which, you know, that's not high speed, right? Like, the next match on this card had Azumi and Starlight Kid do a high speed sequence. And, like, that's what I would have done for this show. Like, I'm going to have my critiques because I watch all these Stardom shows. I know what I feel like I know at this point what the best idea is to like win new fans. I know a lot of people went to those shows that have never seen Stardom before, that are watching Stardom for the first time and trying to learn. And they probably still loved it. That, you know, they got the pomp and circumstance and the entrances and all that, but nothing's going to, you know, convince people to watch Stardom more than the incredible abilities of these wrestlers and putting them in matches to succeed. May Sarah didn't have that here. She lost to Saki Kashima, and yes, she's going to be on that Ring of Honor show, which I'm very happy about. But I was very bummed with this match, and I was very bummed with the result. Like this, I have no problem with Saki Kashima, but man, May Sarah is one of my favorites. You guys know that, and she should not have lost. She shouldn't have lost. Next up, you had Azumi, Saya Kamatani, Cameron Brené versus Stephanie Vaquer, Starlight Kid, and Momo Watanabe. This match opened with the one sequence that I needed this show to have, and that was Azumi and Starlight Kid doing high speed. Just breathtaking, incredible stuff. Like, just no one else can do this. No one else can do this. I would have, truthfully, if you let me book this show, they would have main evented. It would have been these two one-on-one. I think this is the type of match people want. I think people love Azumi. I know people love Starlight Kid. I think especially here in, you know, the West, like they love these two, and you felt that when they connected. They were great in this match. Stephanie Vaquer freaking rules. Like, I don't need to tell you much about that. I thought Momo and Saya Kamatani did some really good stuff, but the final stretch was actually Vaquer and Brené, which I understood why. It was so because Vaquer was winning and you weren't pinning Azumi or Saya Kamatani, especially since Azumi has a strong women's championship match next Friday at Windy City Riot. But I still will complain here because so I felt like a heavy chunk of this was Vaquer and Brené, and like that for me is not what I wanted to see out of this match. And this match wasn't even that long to begin with. Azumi did get her entrance, as did Vaquer, because this was a preview match, and Vaquer getting the win. So that was fine. Probably the third best match on the show. I just would have loved more focus on Azumi and Starlight Kid, truthfully, than anything else. Shuri and Konami lost to Willow Nightingale and Saki when Willow Nightingale hit the gut wrench powerbomb on Konami to get the win. This just didn't click. None of this match really clicked. There was potential there, but I think Willow and Shuri wrestled for like maybe a minute or two, like, and it wasn't really, it was just a few power moves. Konami, this was probably the big letdown. And it was because we didn't get enough Shuri and Willow. I think Willow's fantastic, obviously, and I love Shuri, but like I feel like I saw Shuri only ever wrestling and interacting with Saki, which is not at all what I was asking for. This was, you know, if the high-speed match wasn't bad, then this would have been the worst match on the show. Next up was the semi-main event. It was Mayu Iwatani, Tam, and Momokogo against the Reunion. The reunion of the OG Club Venus trio, Mina Shirakawa, Mariah May, and Zaya Brookside. Everything about this was Stardom. You know, this was Stardom. That's what this match was. If you're going to have a trios match between Stardom wrestlers, this is what it's supposed to be. And I thought they did a good job cashing that early, but they did a little bit better here. You got Mina and Tam having a little, like, Cosmic Angels moment in the ring. Mariah May is always great when she's in Stardom, obviously. Tam and, you know, Mayu gave, you know, she did one of her dives on the show. People got the dive, which is always great. Zaya Brookside, like, did nothing in this match until it was time for her to get pinned. Which I found funny, but it's probably why I think this match succeeded so much. It was really down to Rose Gold versus Mayu and Tam for the most part, and that's why this match reached a higher level, I think, than everything else on the show, besides the main event. Tam did pin Zaya to get the win, which was very very expected. I realized once Tam, you know, tagged in and Zaya hadn't been in the match, that's where we're going. I like that. This, you know, we had back to back non-stardom wrestlers winning, so I obviously wanted a stardom wrestler to win this match. And with one team being only Mina, I'm happy Tam got the win. And it was after this match, so everyone's cleared out, and it's Mariah and Mina in the ring. And obviously, seeing them back together, a lot has happened since they were together. And the big surprise of the night, which was the AEW Women's World Champion Toni Storm making her way down to the ring and confronting. Well, you know, she brought flowers. She brought flowers for Mariah May, which was a very nice moment. And then, you know, Mina's just sitting there not amused at all. She was not having it. And that's when they finally, you know, went face to face. And it was a big moment. It was a big moment because Mariah May obviously kind of, it feels like in a love triangle of sorts between her former partner, her new partner in crime. And Toni Storm, you know, made some remarks towards Mina. Mina wasn't having it. And Toni Storm's big comment was, you know, the forbidden door is always open. And she put her title in Mina's face. And that was the stare down, setting up eventually Mina Shirakawa versus Toni Storm. And that is where the AEW relationship has really kicked into gear, I think. This is the first time we've seen AEW talent on a stardom show since the initial conversation that we saw live and in person between Taro Okada and Tony Khan. It's interesting. Obviously, Tony was, you know, big member of Stardom back in the day, former World of Stardom champion, Cinderella winner, five-star winner. She's a big part of it. And seeing her back there was a moment. And setting up a match with Mina is a moment. You know, and playing off the Mariah May stuff, like, that's how you should do it. If this Stardom AEW relationship is going to happen, this is what I want to see. I want them to see, I want to see them work off of history. And this is history, right? There's a lot of history between a lot of wrestlers in AEW and a lot of wrestlers in Stardom. So if that's what we're going to do, and that's something that AEW does do between wrestlers, I know. But if that's what we're going to do, that's what I want to see. So, obviously, a very cool moment for the people in attendance at this show. And, you know, ultimately a very cool moment, I think, for anyone watching at home. If you're a Toni Storm fan, this was a big surprise. And you set up a match for, presumably, Forbidden Door. And it was the main event. It was the World of Stardom Championship, the second time ever that the World of Stardom title has been defended in the United States. The last time, actually, that was defended in the United States, Toni Storm was World of Stardom Champion, defending against Mercedes Martinez. It was Micah versus Megan Bain, Divine Kingdom coming together for a big one-on-one match. And one of the biggest things I could say about this match is Megan Bain rocks. She's so good. And I just watch her in this ring. I'm like, why has she not popped up anywhere besides like indies? She's a different talent. And she showed in this match. This match was great. This match was great. A great title defense. Micah really put everything she had into this match. And I applaud her for that. She had a Michinoku driver. So she kicked out of the F5, which was a great near fall. Everyone thought she actually had lost. And they're going up to the top, and she hits a Michinoku driver number 2 from the top for an incredible near fall. She then does her arm hooked Michinoku driver number 2 to get the win. But this was a fantastic match. Like, truly. If you are looking for a match to watch from the Joshi side of things this week, in America, this is step one. You watch this match. Megan Bain absolutely knocked it out of the park, as she's been doing every time we've seen in the past, you know, however long. And Micah gets another great World of Stardom title defense under her belt, following the Utami one, which I thought was the one she needed to be great. This one follows it up just well. And after the match, we got the big challenge. It will be Micah versus Momo Watanabe at All-Star Grand Queendom for the World of Stardom Championship. So that's right. All-Star Grand Queendom now has its top three matches. It will be for the World of Stardom Championship, Micah versus Momo Watanabe. For the Wonder of Stardom Championship, it will be Sayori Ano versus Hanan after Hanan officially laid down her challenge. And for the IWGP Women's Championship, it will be Mayu Iwatani versus Sari. I say good luck to everyone else on this show because that match is not getting topped. However, we should just say how crazy it is for the biggest show of the year. It will be Hanan and Momo Watanabe making title challenge. I have no problem about it. It's just pretty crazy, right? That's the type of show we've seen lean on Tam and, you know, lean on the Angels and Julia in the past and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see how they pack the building. But this show succeeded in what it was supposed to do. It was supposed to bring Stardom to America, give them the Stardom experience, and with a world title match that was a full-on title match, you got that Stardom experience when it was all said and done. So when you look at it that way, it's an absolute complete success. You know, Stardom's not done here in America. We do know that Shuri will be defending the or challenging for the JCW World Championship tonight or tonight as of this recording against Masha Slamovich. And then on Ring of Honor, it will be Micah, Mina Shirakawa, and drawing a blank, May Sarah versus Azumi Saya Kamatani and Tam Nakano. Big time match for Super Card of Honor, the Stardom Showcase match. I'm very excited about Ian Riccoboni and Caprice Coleman calling this match. They did such a great job when Mina went over. And I think this is going to be the match of Stardom's week. I truly do. I just think this is what Stardom does so well. You put six great wrestlers in a ring. They're going to go out there for 10, 15 minutes and put on a freaking show. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I'm very excited about that match. And that's what I want to see. Now that the Stardom AEW relationship has been created, this is what I want to see. I want to see Stardom showcase matches. I'm not the one here clamoring to see, you know, the Mina versus Anna Jays of the world. No. Show what Stardom's all about on the biggest stage. And if you're going to do that, either let them do showcase matches like this, or put them against your best. Put them against Athena. Put them against Jamie Hayter, Mariah May, right? Like, that's what we want to see. So this is a great booking. I applaud both sides for putting that together. And I think it's very much worth looking at these six competitors. There's other competitors there. There's Starlight Kid. There's Mayu Iwatani. There's Shuri. Those three really stick out to me not being in this match. But it's going to be these six. And I think that kind of gives a good vision of what Stardom sees as their future core. And I think that's the way I'm looking at this right now, is that these six are, you know, at that future core moving forward. Obviously, Mina has had a big emphasis on her. Tam is Tam. Saya and Azumi are going to be very interesting in the next couple months. And Micah's the world champion. And I think May Sarah obviously has been loved. I know she just lost the ICP title, but she is someone that, you know, that was a spot you could have put Starlight Kid in, had Azumi and Starlight Kid amaze. And I still think you probably should have done that. But as a humongous May Sarah fan, I'm not going to complain that she's going to be on the big stage. So with that is the Ring of Honor match. And then, of course, they will be taking place in Spark this upcoming Sunday as Mayu Iwatani, Starlight Kid, Tam Nakano, Mina Shirakawa, and Azumi will all be competing on that show. And then 1 week from Friday, The day that this release will be the Windy City Riot show as Stephanie Vaquer defends the strong women's title against Azumi. So a lot to come. I'm going to guess Azumi or Mina Shirakawa will be involved in AEW/Ring of Honor tapings next week because they're both staying in America past Sunday. So we'll have to wait and see there. But it was a lot. It was a very busy week for Stardom. And with that, I'm wrapped up. Next week, I will be back to cover everything that's going on. I will review all these other matches that this crew has. I will be talking about the Corkin next week. I'll be talking about whatever shows else are scheduled in the new Stardom. If there's anything regarding Julia and Noah or so on, talk about that as well. Well, you know, we'll get back right on the wagon. There's going to be a lot more next week and so on and so forth. Exciting times in the world of Joshi. So follow me at Scott E. Wrestling on Twitter. If you haven't already, check out my interviews with both Tetsuya Naito and Yota Tsuji over on Fightful.com ahead of their big match at Secure Genesis. And yeah, for now, that's it. And if you haven't, you can also check out the Grand Princess review that was dropped on Wednesday. That was a great show, so make sure to check that out as well. But that's it. This was the 5-Star Juice Show on the Fight Game Media Network. Until next time, see ya.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.